I don't know what it would take to get some people excited, amen. I mean, we're just talking about the one that can save us from hell, amen. I mean, come on. I'll be the first to admit, I go to a ball game and I'll be the first one you'll hear, all right, yelling at the referee, whatever. And some of you know that, all right, because you've been there. And man, I'm cheering my team on. I'm saying, come on, let's go, all right. I'm hollering at the other team, you trip, your shoe's untied or something of that nature. But I tell you, when I go to church, you know what? Something excites my soul about being in church. And I thought as I was sitting there listening to that song, and man, I mean, it just stirs me inside. And by the way, if you're saved, it ought to stir you. And I thought, you know, some people, I think we'd have to turn a mouse loose in the auditorium or something of that nature to get a peep out of you. But hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with it, guys. Man, if the Lord speaks to you in a song, in the message, hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. Amen. That's good. All right. Nothing wrong with lifting your hand saying, praise the Lord. That's right, preacher. Go ahead. All right. You can say it any way you like to. But you ought to get excited about something. All right. And some of you, you can read your books and things of that nature. And you get excited about that. Ladies, you get excited about the sale at Walmart or Joann's or wherever it may be. You can get excited at church, amen? And it ought to be a place of excitement. It ought to be a place that something's going on. And man, I just had to say that. I don't know, I sit there and listen to that song. Man, I mean, I had to say amen. I mean, I can sit there and just listen to that. Something inside me, and I know what it is. It's not something, it's the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of me. And the same Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're a believer. And it ought to incite you when you hear a song, when you hear something about the goodness of God. And by the way, He is good to us, and better than we deserve. And we'll talk about some of that here in just a moment. James chapter number 1. If you have your Bibles, James chapter number 1, I'm going to read one verse. James chapter number 1. And one verse, and then we'll get into the message. I'll lay a little bit of foundation, give you a little bit of introduction, and then get into the message. James chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse number 17, all right? A very familiar verse for those that have been in church any length of time. But I think a lot of times we have a different idea about things than what they really are. And I want to pull some things there and throughout other scripture, and hopefully it'll speak to your heart, and hopefully the Lord will use it. And I know that He will, all right? He will. It's not a hopefully. We came to church to hear from the Lord, and if we came to church to hear from the Lord, He will speak to us. And we don't have to hope for that. We know that He will. He's in this place, all right? This is His house, and He wants to speak to me, and He will speak to me if I'll let Him. And that's the main factor, is if I'll let Him. And if you're going to talk and you're going to play on your phone and text and all that kind of stuff and think about what you're doing after you leave church and what you got going on this week and all of those things. Hey, listen, we've all got things going on. But let's take just a moment here this morning and pull aside from those things and let the Lord speak to our hearts. Can we do that? James chapter 1, verse number 17. I want to ask you to stand. The Bible says, verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to think about a few things, all right? The word good there. Before we pray, I want to give you just a little bit, then we'll dive into some more things. The word good there, every good gift, the Bible says. The word good, it carries the idea of the highest moral and pleasant benefit that you can think of, all right? The word perfect, all right? Every good gift, every perfect gift, the Bible says. The word perfect means lacking nothing, all right? I mean, it's the best of the best. And notice what the Bible says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, we've looked at the word good, the word perfect. What are those? That's the best of the best. All right, every good gift, every perfect gift, the best of the best gifts that you can think of, those come from above. All right, but let's look at the word gift. All right, the word gift, and most of you, you say, Brother Nichols, we know what these words mean. All right, this is kind of elementary, and that's okay. I'm going somewhere, okay? The word gift, it means the act of giving, all right? The act of giving, or we would call that blessings, right? The act of giving, or the blessings, if you will. In verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Or we could say that every blessing is from above. Every blessing that is bestowed upon us, those good blessings, man, that we tell everybody about, and we can't forget, we can't get them out of our mind, that's from above. But also those little things that God does that maybe wouldn't be as extravagant as others, like just giving us a breath of life today to get up and serve Him. That's a blessing from God. If you're a believer here this morning, that is a blessing from God. James, here in this passage, he's speaking to these Jewish believers. Back in verse number 2, he says, my brethren, all right? Anytime you hear them say, my brethren, it's speaking to believers, all right? Just like we have here today. We've got a group of believers. If I said the word brethren, all right? I'm talking to those that are saved is who I'm speaking to. James is speaking to these Jewish believers. And he begins in chapter number 1. He begins with a subject of different trials and things of that nature, and then he moves on in verse number 13. He begins to speak about temptations that that you will face as a Christian. And by the way, you will face temptations. You will face trials as a Christian. I will face those temptations, those trials. There's no doubt about it. I will face them. Just because Jesus saved me and gave me a home in heaven someday, and gave me eternal life, that doesn't mean that everything is just roses. Sometimes there are trials. Sometimes there are temptations that come about. This flesh, by the way, it tempts me day in and day out. And by the way, if you read your Bible right, you're tempted of yourself. It doesn't take anything outside to tempt me. My flesh within itself, it tempts me. And it says, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so my flesh tempts me. I'm tempted. Used to be a saying, and I don't even have this in the notes. I don't know why I'm going here. But it used to be a saying out, in fact, I think it came from a TV show. I'm not old enough to remember it. Some of you may remember. There was a phrase that was very catchy. It said, the devil made me do it. How many of you remember that? The devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. You don't need the devil to tempt you to do it. Your wicked flesh, my wicked flesh within itself, it will tempt me to not be where I ought to be, to go places that I shouldn't be, to say things that I shouldn't say, to think thoughts that I ought not think. I don't need anything else tempting me. My wicked flesh within itself tempts me. And so he moves to that in verse number 13, speaking about temptations. And in verse 14 and 15, he goes on. Then down in verse number 17 where we read, he shifts gears. And by the way, if you read the book of James, that's what you'll find. It shifts from one thing to another. It just addresses many different things. But verse number 17, he moves from the temptations and he begins to speak about the blessings of God. And he makes that statement, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And so he's reminding those believers, just as I remind you here today, that every good gift, every blessing in my life, it's from above. It's from God. It's nothing that I have done. It's God that has blessed me. And James is reminding them of that. And you know, I as I read that verse and I thought over that verse, every good gift, every perfect gift, not bift, but every perfect gift is from above. Those blessings that are from above. You know, in our day and time today, in society today, we have a misconception, if you will, about this thing of blessings. Everywhere you look. I was pulling out of a store last night, headed home. I had to pick up a few things and was headed back home. And on the front of that car, there was a license plate, and it said, "Blessed." Everywhere you turn, you go in Walmart and you talk to folks, "How are you today?" "I'm blessed." How many of you have heard that? You've heard that term? Yeah. Everybody's blessed. And we've got that mindset today. But can I tell you, and we're going to look at here in just a moment, there's a misconception about that. God's blessings, they don't fall on everybody. Some of you are about to have a heart attack sitting in church. I'm going to show you some things here in just a moment. God's blessings, they don't fall to everybody. You say, "Well, how so, Brother Nichols? God doesn't bless the wicked." Nothing that is ungodly, if something turns out for the good, that's not God blessing that. When God blesses, a blessing from God is God putting His stamp of approval, God putting His favor upon something. And so we can say God doesn't bless everybody. You may be here today and you may have stopped in the store in Memphis and picked up a lottery ticket on your way to work the other day or such, and scratched that lottery ticket off, and you've been having some difficult times and things of that nature, and you really needed the money, and you hit the jackpot for $2,000. $2,000. There it is. All right. Can I tell you, that's not God blessing you? Don't make that mistake. All across our country, everybody, well, God's blessed me. Has God blessed you? Or is God just being merciful to you? Not giving you what you deserve. Not giving me what I deserve. Just because something good may happen in your life doesn't mean that that's God saying, "All right, well, I'll bless them." That doesn't mean that that's God's blessing on my life. And we live in this society today that, we think whatever happens in my life, well, that must be God blessing me. Wrong. That's not necessarily God blessing me. When I do something that is wicked and not in accordance with the Word of God, and it works out in my favor, that is not God blessing me. Doesn't work that way. And so we have this idea, we have this thought process that, hey, everybody's blessed, man. God, you know, I didn't do this maybe in the right way, but God blessed it. No. That's not necessarily God's blessing, friend. But I would say this, if I were to ask for a show of hands in here this morning and say, hey, who would like to have God's blessings on their life? I'm pretty sure that most everybody in here would raise their hands. I want God's blessings on my life. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless my life and allow me to be used for His glory. I want God to bless His Word as I would give it out and see folks trust Christ. I want God to bless everything that my hand is involved in. I want that. And I trust that you want that as well. We all want God's blessings. But can I tell you, God doesn't bless everybody. We live in society today that has this entitlement idea. You know what I mean? I'm entitled. Well, you know what? We didn't win a game, little Johnny. And this is one that may ruffle some feathers, all right, if you're a grandparent. And I don't mean to ruffle any feathers this morning, but I'm just going to preach what the Lord gave me. And I think about little Johnny. He played on the football team. And you know what? They had 42 practices and didn't show up but for 10 of them. And they only won three games. But he deserves a trophy, the entitlement era that we live in. Well, I deserve what they got. Well, I deserve what everybody else is getting. I mean, you know, I'm me, and I deserve it. I mean, we think about in our homes. I see it in my home all the time. Our oldest son, he has the mindset that, hey, I'm the oldest. I should get this. I'm the oldest. I get the biggest portion, or I'm the oldest, and because I'm the oldest, this is what ought to happen to me. We have that entitlement mindset. We have the mindset, and some of you can relate to this. We have the mindset that because I work for this particular company or that particular company, that, hey, at the end of the year, they ought to give me a bonus just because I work here. Should they? I mean, that's their prerogative, right? If they want to give you a bonus, they can. If they don't, they don't. It's neither here nor there. But we have the mindset that, hey, I should get this. I mean, man, it's mine. They should do this for me. We have a mindset that in society, this is a big one, that I don't have to work, but the government should take care of me. The entitlement mindset. Well, I don't have to go out and get a job. I don't have to do anything. I mean, I can just sit around on the couch and eat potato chips and watch Maury Povich. I guess that's still on. I'm not sure. And the government will pay my bills. I mean, they'll send me a check every month and my lights won't get turned off and I'll still have water to drink and the air conditioning will run. We have an idea in our minds that's rampant of, I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. I mean, after all, we live in America, man. I should get whatever I want. The entitlement mindset. I like this one. We have the mindset that if we purchase something from someone and it doesn't work out the way that we think that it should, that they should pay me some portion of money because it wasn't what I thought it was. The entitlement mindset. I think about the lady that bought the coffee at McDonald's and drove off from there and spilled the coffee on herself and sued McDonald's because they sold her the coffee. Why do they owe me anything? The entitlement mindset. And it's everywhere. And it's not only in society, in the world, from the worldly standpoint, but we begin to get that mindset with God. In our churches, we think, I go to church at least one time a month, God. Surely you should bless me. The entitlement mindset. Well, I only slipped up one time this week, God. I only did one thing wrong, and God, surely you can bless me. The entitlement mindset. We put a few dollars in the offering plate and surely, God, you're going to provide me with that new car. I mean, I gave in the offering plate, really? The entitlement mindset. I only disobeyed mom and dad. Teenagers, this will hit home for you. I only disobeyed mom and dad just two times this week. Now, surely, God, you're going to give me A's on my report card from here until the end of the year or infinity. I mean, I deserve that. I'm entitled to that. I mean, because I did you a favor, God. The entitlement mindset. We have this idea, listen, friend, and we're going somewhere. But we have this idea that no matter what my life looks like and how far away from God I drift and how little I walk with God and how much I don't even care about God, that I'm entitled to the blessings of God. It's in our churches. It's in society. Well, I mean, I'm me. God should surely bless me. Should He? Can I tell you, God doesn't owe me anything, friend. God doesn't owe you anything. Hey, listen to me. Anything this side of a devil's hell is strictly the mercy of an almighty God. He doesn't owe you anything. Oh, listen to me, friend. Teenager, I know you think that everybody should bow when you come into the auditorium and that even God Himself should bow because you're in His house this morning. But can I tell you, God doesn't owe you anything. He's not indebted to us about anything. Can I tell you, He's given us opportunities after opportunities. Hey, listen, whenever the Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Hey, it's just the mercy of God that He hasn't given to us what we deserve. He doesn't owe me anything. God is not obligated to bless anyone aside from the obligations that He Himself has put Himself under in His Word. If He hasn't said in His Word that, hey, you know what, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll do this. God's not obligated to anything. He's God. He's God. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me a new car. He doesn't owe me a new house. He doesn't owe me a good paying job. He doesn't owe me anything. Health. He doesn't owe that to me. Unless He's put that in His Word and He's obligated Himself to that. And so I want to preach to you for just a moment on this idea. Everybody is not entitled. Everybody is not entitled. And I'm going to pull from the Scripture very plainly as it shows to us, what does it require for me to be entitled to God's blessings? I want God's blessings. You want God's blessings. If I had you raise your hands, I said it a moment ago, you'd raise your hand. Yes, Brother Nichols, I want God's blessings. Man, I want God to give my family good health. I mean, I want God to protect me this week as I travel to and from wherever I may go. I want God's blessings. I want God to help me through those trials and those struggles that I'll face this week. I want God's blessings on my life. But can I tell you, everybody's not entitled. The Bible's plain. Who's entitled? So who's entitled to these blessings that James speaks about in James chapter 1, verse number 7? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Who's entitled? I would say number one, only the pardoned. Only the pardoned. Who's entitled to these blessings, preacher? I would say, number one, the pardoned. If I'm going to reap the blessings of an almighty God, first and foremost, let me say, I must be one of God's children. The Bible's very plain. And first of all, let me say, how can I become one of God's children? That's plain. And most of us should know that, but sometimes we have to lay that out, even in church. How can I be one of God's children? I mean, we're all one of God's children, aren't we? I mean, God created everything, wrong. God did create everything, but we're not all one of God's children. How do I become one of God's children? Well, the Bible tells me, John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said it plainly. John chapter number 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, or if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And can I tell you, friend, those blessings from God are for those that are pardoned. Those that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Those that have received the gift of salvation at the moment that I accept Christ as my Savior. You know what? I've just posted my name on the list to receive God's blessings, not the least of which is heaven itself. Oh, listen to me, friend. God doesn't just bless everybody and everybody's going to heaven. No. That's set apart for those that are pardoned, those that have received the gift of salvation. You're not entitled, listen, heaven because you're a church member. That doesn't entitle you to heaven. You're not entitled because you've been baptized. Hey, listen, I can go climb in that baptistry pool right now and it doesn't do anything for me. What does something for me is the blood of Jesus Christ. It washes away my sins, and it'll wash away your sins if you'll let it. I'm entitled because of my belief of Jesus Christ in His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. I'm not entitled because of family ties. Hey, listen, there are no family ties that ever got anybody into heaven. Because Grandpa Joe was a part of the church for 412 years, that don't entitle you, friend. No, I should get into heaven. I mean, my daddy, he's the preacher. Friend, can I tell you, that's so far from the truth. Hey, listen, those that are entitled to that are those that are pardoned. There's never been one that's been entitled to heaven because of good deeds, because of being a good person. There's never been one that's entitled to heaven because they've lived a good life. Doesn't happen. Because I just loved everybody. I love everybody, Brother Junior. I mean, everybody's my friend, can I tell you? That doesn't entitle me to heaven. Oh no, what entitles me to heaven is that I've been pardoned. I've been set free. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, can I tell you, you're entitled to heaven only as you have come to God through Jesus Christ. And then you obtain heaven as your eternal home. That's just the beginning. Then the entitlement, boy, it's just beginning. I mean, I receive heaven as my eternal home. And the Bible says this, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, then I'm entitled. When I bow my knee and I say, oh yes, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need Jesus Christ, and I believe that Jesus died and that He was buried and that He rose again, and I accept that as payment for my salvation. It's then, at that moment, the Bible says that He won't cast me away. He says, all right. It's yours. You're entitled to it. You've received the gift of salvation. You are entitled to it. But can I say, friend, that's just the beginning. Heaven, oh, I receive heaven, and that's the greatest of all, I believe. But then he prepares me and He equips me and He blesses me on that journey to heaven. I mean, He puts shoes on my feet and He puts clothes on my back and a roof over my head, and He gives me a church family and so on and so forth. He blesses me. But those blessings come, first of all, to those that are pardoned. James was speaking to the saved there, and he says, brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And friend, can I tell you, the only way to receive those blessings, first of all, is to be pardoned. If I'm going to receive those blessings of God, and by the way, I want them. Young person, if you're going to receive those blessings of God, and hopefully you want them, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if you're going to receive those blessings of God, and hopefully you want them, you desire them, first of all, it's going to come because I'm pardoned. I've received Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you? Look at Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Matthew in chapter number 7. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 11. If you get there before I do, you'll just have to wait. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11, the Bible says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Can I tell you something, friend? I don't think I'm mean because of this. I just think this is the way that it works because, I mean, I think everybody does this. When I go to the store, I go down here to Walmart this afternoon. If I get in my truck and I load my boys up in the truck and I say, all right, boys, come on, we're going to Walmart. And we go down here and we get to walking through and I'm picking up whatever I need. And the boys, they say, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? And so on and so forth, as all children do, right? And I say, you know what? Yeah, I think I'll get you that today. You know what? I may buy my children something in that store, but I'm not going to go through that store and pick out every kid, Brother Steve, and say, all right, I'm going to get this for you and this for you and this for you. No. But I'm going to take care of mine. I'm going to take care of my children. I'm going to give my children a roof over their head, and I'm going to give them clothes on their back, and I'm going to give them shoes on their feet. I'm going to give them those things that they need to journey through this life. Even so is the case with God. In order to receive the blessings of God, first and foremost, may I say, you must be pardoned. Everybody is not entitled. Can I say this? Most people want the goods, but they don't want the God of the goods. Everybody wants the blessings. You see it as you go out and about. Man, I want those good things to happen to me, and I want to win the lottery, if you will. That's not a blessing, but I want those good things to happen to me. But you know what? I don't have anything to do with God. You know, I want God to give them good health. But you know what? I'm not going to serve God with my life. You know, I want God to take care of my family. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But you know what? I don't want anything to do with God. Everybody, for the most part, they want the goods, but they don't want the God of the goods. But can I tell you, the goods are the blessings. They're reserved for those that are God's. They're reserved for those that are His children. Everybody's not entitled. Who is entitled? First of all, I'd say those that are pardoned. Second of all, I'd say this. Who's entitled to those good gifts, those perfect gifts, those blessings that come from God? I would say number two, the pursuing.
Number one, the pardon. Those that are His children, they are recipients of those blessings. But then number two, those that are pursuing, they are recipients of God's blessings. God's blessings are upon those that pursue Him and His will. Psalm chapter 34, if you don't believe me. Psalm 34, verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know what? As I seek the Lord, as I go after the Lord, as I follow after the Lord, as I surrender to God, what do you want for my life? God, what can I do for you? I seek the Lord. You know what? God's blessings fall upon me. It's proven fact. Hey, you want God's blessings? You seek after God. You go after God. You follow those things that He's given you in His Word. And you follow those things that He speaks to your heart and says, no, this is what I want for your life, not that. And this is where I want you. And find out if God doesn't bless that. You follow God. You pursue God. You want God's blessings in your life? Follow after Him. The problem is this. We want God's blessings. We want that good health that I talked about. We want that good family. You know what? We want our family to all love God and stay in church. Those blessings. We want that good job. I mean, that one that'll pay my bills and give me money to put in the bank and so on and so forth. We want that. But we don't want God's will for our life. We want all those things. I want God to take care of me, but God, I want to do what I want to do. It doesn't work that way, my friend. God says, hey, those that are going to receive my blessings are going to be those that are pursuing me, those that are going after what I have for them. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what does the latter part say? And all these things shall be added unto you. Friend, you want the blessings of God? Mom, you want the blessings of God? Dad, you want God's blessings on your life, and I hope that you do. Try following God. Pursue God. God, what do you want with my life? God, what can I do for you? God, you want me to go soul winning? God, that's what I'll do. Pursuing God. Friend, we can't have the blessings of God and have what we want in our life. Oh no, it doesn't work that way. God blesses those that are pursuing Him. When we put God number one in our life, He has obligated Himself to bless me. He said, hey, them that seek me, the Lord shall not, or they shall not want any good thing. Hey, if you seek me, don't worry, I'm going to take care of your family. Hey, if you follow after me, don't worry. Your children, they'll be okay. You follow after me, don't worry about those bills. I'll take care of them. Listen, friend. I mean, that's where we're at. We want God's blessings on our life. We want God to take care of those things in our life. But we want to do what David wants to do. God, I want your blessings, but God, let me tell you how it's going to be. No, 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 friend. Teenager. God, I want what you, the best that you have out there. But let me tell you who I'm going to date. Let me tell you what career I'm going to go after. Listen, friend. Yeah, and we're hitting close to home this morning, but friend, it's the truth. God says you pursue me and you'll have those blessings. But you pursue you, you know what? You can't have those blessings. Those blessings are for those that pursue me. What we want is we want God to bless me. But we want to tell God, God, if I have time, I'll walk with you. No, doesn't work that way. God, I want your blessings and I'll do whatever you want me to as long as I'm okay with it. No. Pursuing God. Going after God. Seeking God. God, what do you want with my life? Those that pursue God. Those are the ones that will reap those blessings. Or maybe we have this idea. Well, God, once I get my 401k where I want it, then I'll serve you. No, 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 friend. Listen. Hey, I'm being real this morning. God blesses those that pursue Him. God blesses those that say, you know what, God, you're number one in my life. God, whatever it is that you want for my life, and God, wherever it is that you want me for my life, God, that's what I'll do. That's pursuing God. Not saying, well, God, this is what I'd like to do. Are you okay with it? No, that's not pursuing God, my friend. Listen, letting God control everything that I do, that's pursuing God. Giving God the reins, if you will. Saying, God, here it is. You do what you want to with it. That's pursuing God. That's allowing God to direct wherever He will, however He will, whenever He will. And when I seek God, then I'll have those blessings. But can I tell you, when I seek my own will, my own pleasures, my own agenda, I'm forfeiting those blessings of God. So you decide. Do you want God's blessings? Do I want God's blessings? Then I better pursue God. I better seek out God. What is it that you want? God, what can I do? God, what do you have for my life? God, not what I want, but what do you have? The Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't say, well, you know what? I'll serve God on Sunday, but on Monday I want to do this. No, that's not pursuing God. That's not seeking after God. It's not seeking after God just because you say, well, I'll do it this time, but I won't that time. No, pursuing God, seeking God. Every decision in my life, every action in my life, I'm going to God. And I'm seeking, God, what do you want? If I desire God's blessings on my life, I must be pursuing Him. And I ought to be pursuing Him, friend. And so I see that those blessings that we talked about from James chapter number 1, They're given to those that are pardoned, those that are pursuing. Let me give you number three quickly, and I'm moving. Number three, not only those that are pardoned, not only those that are pursuing, but then those that are perpendicular. Oh, wow, where'd that come from? Outline, all right? That's all I can say. That are perpendicular, here's what I mean by that. Upright, right with God. Perpendicular, I'm right with my Heavenly Father. In order for me to experience God's blessings in my life, friend, in order for you to experience God's blessings in your life, friend, you must be pardoned. You must be pursuing, but then, let me say, you must be perpendicular. You must be in tune with God. You must be right with God. Psalm chapter 84 and verse number 11. You can turn there whenever you get home or whatever. I'll read it to you. It says this. It says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 10. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in his possession. Proverbs in chapter number 10 and verse number 6. Blessings are upon the heads of the just. Upright. Hey, my relationship with the Lord is exactly where it needs to be. There's no unconfessed sin in my life, friend. Listen to me. You want the blessings of God? Hey, you better have a life that is perpendicular, that is right in the sight of God. There's no habitual sin in my life. Oh, listen, friend. Those habitual sins prevent me from having those blessings of God upon my life. You want the blessings of God? Rid yourself of those things that are wicked. Don't you think for one second that you and I can live our lives filled with wickedness and ungodliness and that God's going to bless that. Not for a second, friend. Listen, if I'm going to receive the blessings of God, hey, I must be in tune with God. I must have a life that is right. I must be pleasing with Him. My heart must be clean, friend, in order to receive the blessings of God. And don't you fool yourself here this morning, friend. Listen to me. We make the mistake many times, well, I know I shouldn't have that attitude, but she has that same attitude. Listen to me, friend. Don't you worry about what's going on with sister so-and-so. You clean your heart. You want the blessings of God. Hey, listen, the blessings of God are going to fall to you if your heart's right. I'm not going to fall to them. You worry about yourself. I worry about myself. Don't fool yourself for one second that God is okay with your sinful lifestyle. Not hardly. He's not going to bless that. Nowhere in there is there going to be blessings of God. No, not until my heart is clean. Not until my heart is pure. And as long as I have a good heart, God will bless me. My heart is clean. It's right. How about it, teenager? How about it, mom and dad? Listen, I know I'm not the only one in this room this morning that struggles with things. You know what? I want the blessings of God on my life. If I'm going to have them, I better be perpendicular. I better have a right life. My walk better match what I talk. Hey, listen, friend, it's easy to talk that stuff, but what's your walk look like? Hey, it's easy for me to come to church and pretend like I'm all that God wants me to be, but friend, when you get outside of this church house, what does your life look like? God's not blessing that. God's blessing those that are perpendicular. And friend, let me go ahead and say this. If you believe that God blesses that, you're deceived. You are sincerely deceived. God doesn't bless that. God's blessings fall on those that walk with Him. Those that are in accordance with His Word. That's who God blesses. Psalm 37, verse number 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, listen, it might get tough along the way, friend. It might be hard. I might go through things that I don't want to go through, and I may think that, man, I'm never going to get through those. But can I tell you, He's there with us. Those blessings will still fall if my heart's right with Him. If my life lines up with His Word, to obtain God's blessings, I must be perpendicular. How about it this morning, friend? How's your life? You want those blessings of God? Hey, first of all, you must be pardoned. Second of all, hey, listen, you must be pursuing. Then you must be perpendicular. Then let me give you this and we'll go home. In order to receive those blessings of God, I must be proper. Here's what I mean by that. I must be sincere. It better be real. Can't be this fake stuff. Let me just tell you, there are some things that I can handle that maybe aren't name brand, but there's not many of them. Most of it has to be a certain particular brand, amen? But can I tell you, when it comes to Christianity, the imitation don't work. That fake stuff, God's not interested in that. No, no sir, no ma'am, don't fool yourself. God's looking for something that's real. He's looking for something that's sincere. Part of the misconception with this whole idea of the entitlement mindset toward the blessings of God, it stems from this verse. Turn to Matthew chapter number 8 real quick. This is where many people have a misconception. They love this verse, part of it. They don't like to read the entirety of it. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28. And many of you, you'll know exactly when you see it. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28. Notice what it says. And we know that all things work together for good. And that's where everybody stops. We know that all things work together for good. But can I tell you, there's a little bit more of that verse there. But the society today, you hear it everywhere you go. Well, everything works together for good. Well, I mean, Cousin Joe, I mean, he's got cancer, but he ain't been in church in 50 years, never accepted Christ as his Savior. But you know, everything works together for good. Really? All things work together for good, the Bible says. I mean, it must be true. It says in the Bible. All things work together for good. I mean, Gertrude's husband left her, and the marriage is shot, and there ain't no hope for him. But, you know, everything works together for good. Does it? We think that whatever the case may be, Well, it's okay. I mean, ain't nothing to worry about. I mean, the Bible says, Romans 8:28, you know it. I mean, all things work together for good. Let's read the verse. Romans 8, verse 28. I'm sorry. Did I say Matthew? Romans. Romans. It's all good. Amen. It's in the Bible. That's why I was getting some crazy stares. They're like, Matthew 8, 28. Romans, all right? You know the verse. You know where it's at. Romans chapter 8. You know it, all right? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. What's he saying right there? We know that all things work together for good to them that are sincere. Them that are real. Those that love God, all right? It's not some fake thing out there. Listen to me, friend. We're just about done. It's not something that's superficial. It's not something that's just right there on the surface, but it doesn't go very deep, Brother Anthony. It's sincere. It's real. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. No, friend, it's not superficial. It's real. God's blessings fall to those that are real. If I'm going to receive God's blessings, hey, listen, it's not going to come to some fake Christianity. It's not going to come to some, I love God, and then on Monday, I love God. Listen to me, can I be real this morning? I know that touches close to home, friend. Listen to me. But that's the truth. That's Bible. Something that's real, listen, something that's real is something that'll change my life. It'll make me be something that I ought to be, not what I want to be. Something that's real. Sincere. I mean, it's deep down in my heart. It's not just on my lips, but it's deep down in my heart. Hey, God's blessing that. I don't just live it on Sunday, listen. But on Monday, I'm living it. On Tuesday, hey, I'm doing what I ought to do. I'm being who I ought to be. I'm saying what I ought to say. Hey, listen, friend. On Wednesday, I'm who I'm supposed to be. On Thursday, hey, I'm still who I'm supposed to be and doing what I ought to do and following this book and living this book and staying in this book. On Friday, and so on and so forth. Something that's real is something that I don't just put on my list and, well, I went to church Sunday morning, I'm good. That ain't real. That ain't real, friend, and I ain't trying to ruffle no feathers necessarily this morning, but if the Holy Spirit does it, you take it up with Him. That ain't real. Something that's real will change my soul. It'll change who I am. And I'll begin to do it. I can't help but do it. I got to do it. It's who I am. It ain't who I'm trying to be. It's who I am. It's real. It's sincere. And God's blessings fall to those that are proper, those that are sincere. Luke chapter 1, verse number 53, the Bible says this, He hath filled the hungry with good things. I want God in my life. I'm gonna read God's word. I'm gonna be what God wants me to be. I'm gonna do what God tells me I ought to do. I'm gonna stay away from those things that God says, hey, you got no business being a part of that. I'm real, friend. A sincere Christianity. Not just to love Him when I need Him, but to love Him with all thine heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. That kind of real. He blesses those that are proper. And so who gets those blessings? Number one, those that are pardoned. Those that are pursuing. Those that are perpendicular, and then those that are proper. I wonder, friend, do you want God's blessings? Then why don't we do something about it? Why don't we do what we need to do in order to receive God's blessings? Why don't we get our life in line with the Word of God where it ought to be in order to receive those blessings that come from God? Let me say this. If I'm not being blessed, if I'm not receiving God's blessings, it's my fault. It's not God's. You say, well, God's just unfair. I mean, He blessed her and He didn't bless me. Oh, really? What's your life look like? Why should God bless you? Give Him a reason to bless you. Are you pursuing Him? Are you clean with Him? Hey, listen, are you sincere? Is your heart filled with something that it shouldn't be? You're not giving God a chance to bless you. We all want God's blessings. But those blessings only fall in those categories. Those that are pardoned, those that are pursuing, those that are perpendicular, and those that are proper. How about it today? If you're not receiving God's blessings, here's the encouraging thing. You can fix that today. You say, I want God's blessings. Man, I want God to bless me. I want God to take care of my family. And I want God to supply my needs. And I want God to bless my life and whatever the case may be. Hey, you can do something about that. You can change that. You can come this morning and open up the windows of heaven. Let God pour those blessings out on you. Let God pour those blessings out on me. Would you take advantage of that this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and goodness to us. God, You are so good to us. God, just for giving us an opportunity, Lord, to escape hell, God, You've been good to us. For Jesus dying on the cross that, Lord, I should have died on to pay for my own sins. And Jesus did that. God, You've been good. God, I pray that You would help us this morning, Lord. For those of us that are saved here this morning, God, You've been good to us, Lord. You've blessed us in many different ways. And God, we recognize that those blessings come from You. And God, there are those that sit in this auditorium this morning that would have to say, you know, I haven't been experiencing those blessings that I hear about. I hear others talk about God blessing their home. I hear others talk about God blessing them with a good job. I hear others talk about God blessing them with good health and healing them from this disease. And I hear folks talk about God blessing them in this area or that area, and I'm not receiving those blessings. And God, we've got things in our life that, Lord, we need to address. And God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, not to try and hide those things, because, God, You already know about them. Lord, we just need to come and confess whatever it is. Maybe seeking my own agenda. Doing my will, God. And God, You've said You're not going to bless that. You're going to bless those that seek after You. Maybe some young person in here this morning, God, that has had determined in their mind, this is what I'm going to do in my life, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. God, those blessings don't fall to that attitude. God, there may be some in here that, Lord, they have things in their life, and God, nobody even knows about them. God, they're wicked and vile, not pleasing to You, and God, we know that You can't bless that. God, there are some that, Lord, they go through the motions of being a Christian week in and week out, and God, try hard to be what they ought to be, but God, it's just superficial, it's not real. And God, I pray that You would speak to hearts, work on our hearts, help us, God, to be what You would have us to be. Lord, there may be one here today that, Lord's never received Your blessings because they've never been pardoned. God, that's the beginning of receiving Your blessings, is receiving Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that You'd speak to hearts this morning. Use the invitation. I ask you just a couple of questions with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I wonder who would say this.